Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're going to continue in our programs this week with a theme that we've been talking about for the last several weeks, and that has the home as God would have it. The homes of America, or many of them, are very dysfunctional. They're failing in the divinely duties that they have to perform. Of course, there are many good homes all around, many good people. But at the same time, we are obviously under attack as far as the home is concerned from many quarters. There are those who would completely redefine things as the way that God would have them to be. And so we're going to continue to talk about the home and the things related to it and the people that make up the home. We hope that you'll be concerned about it and you'll be interested in hearing these things. I want to begin today to talk about something that affects every home. You know, as a person matures, he encounters problems and is constantly facing the need for making adjustments and decisions and selections. He must ever evaluate everything. Now, this is an inescapable part of the maturing process. And one problem that young people face, they meet it very early in life. It comes from the fact of the difference between the idealism that they have in their childhood and going into the realm of realism in maturity. You know, everybody is somewhat shocked when reality is crammed down their throats, and there's no escape from it. But there's a real difference in this world between how things ought to be and how things actually are. And the very young, of course, in their early childhood, they're taught and told how things ought to be. They're taught what to do and what not to do. And they learn these things. They're instructed concerning what is right as opposed to what is wrong. And they have to realize that there's the decision that has to be made between right and wrong. And even a greater decision and a more difficult decision sometimes, not only between what is right and wrong, but between what is good and then maybe what is even better, and then finally determining what is best, the ideal, as things ought to be. And they learn these things from people they trust, from their parents, from Bible teachers, from preachers, from various sources of teaching and instruction and reading. The young are taught how things ought to be and how people ought to treat one another and what everyone should do and would refrain from doing. And yet, they are not very old before they're subjected to how things really are in life. They are made aware that the ideal that they have been taught and the measures used in teaching them, they're not always what they see in real life as they go out, beginning to associate with others outside the home. Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Young people are taught to love other people, to love one another. But they grow up and they hear and see war and the evidences of hatred. And they know about people killing one another. They read about and hear about and see violence and suffering. The very opposite of the things that they've been taught as to how they ought to be. What a difference between the ideal and the real. And they grow older and they begin to see there is the reality of the exploitation of the poor. And they hear and see the misuse of authority and the misuse of power. They know about lying. They come to understand cheating that's gone on, not only in school, but in the business world. And they see people loafing and shortcutting on their jobs, not treating people fairly. And they soon learn that all judges are not fair, that life is not fair, as one of our former presidents has brought to our attention, that all policemen are not honorable and honest, most of them are, but they soon learn that that's not necessarily true universally of every policeman, and they even learn that every preacher is not trying to live by what he preaches. And even parents are not perfect. Now, all of this is sometimes a very shattering experience for the young person. And we see that this is aggravated sometimes with divisions that arise even among Christian people. The real is just so far removed from the ideals that they have been taught and what they ought to follow. They may find themselves even being snubbed by those they have considered friends and mocked by other people when they try to do what they've been taught is right. And that's a cause of great frustration among them, going from this realm of idealism into the realm of realism. Now, this has been a problem, both for the young and for the old alike. And some, as they go through this process, they're shocked beyond belief. And their reactions are different. And sometimes their reactions are deadly and fatal. Some panic, and they cringe in fear when they realize that things are not as they ought to be. Some don't know what to think about it, and they soon become doubtful, and they don't know to whom they can turn with confidence and what they can really rely upon. You see, when they go from the ideal to the real, there's a possibility that their foundations are shaken, and they know that all is not well. They've entered into the dangerous waters of adjustment to the fact that the ideal is not the same as in the real world in which they're going to have to live. Now, this is a problem for every home. Now, our young generation, they're not the first to enter into such dangerous waters. Every generation does. And there's a danger to minimize the impact upon the present youth, however, by simply dismissing it as something, well, everybody has to face that. Everybody has faced that one time or another. I'm convinced this is a very, very difficult time in which to rear children as God wants them to be reared. And my heart goes out to young fathers and mothers as they rear their children in the world that seem committed to that which is dominated by satanic influences of evil and people who don't seem to care about God. And yet, every young person must face it. But everyone does not face it successfully. There are those who are overcome by this transition period. They are drowned in the swirling waters of doubt and confusion. They perish before they even realize there is solid ground to be found. There is an answer to their frustrations. But some go into that period of transition and they never recover. It is of some help to know that many others have gone into these hazardous waters and they've made it quite safely to the other side that's called adulthood. And they've done so without being scarred and scathed beyond repair. But it is a trying time for the young as well as for their parents. But many have made the trip of transition from the ideal to the real quite well. But still, we're sobered by the fact that not all are successful in doing that. Now, how do you face this realistic problem? Well, some young people rebel against everything around them. They're so frustrated. Whatever exists, they are against it. They rebel in their manners and in their dress and in their language. Some even revolt and go to riot, seek to destroy and to burn, and generally create about as much havoc as they think they can create. and they some there disobey every level of authority. They disobey parents, the civil law. They certainly disobey God. Oh, they cry out and demand the change of the situation, and changes certainly need to be made, but they're not very sure and certain as to what to change, or even why to change. Many display this attitude of down with everything and up with nothing because it's not perfect. Now, some will attempt to pretend that the inconsistencies between the real and the ideal don't exist, but they do exist. Some try to ignore the gap between them, and they use various forms of escapism with alcohol and drugs and immorality and such things as that. Of course, that's just cowardly and solves nothing for anybody, only aggravating the problem. And some have advocated that since the standards are not being followed by the adult world, that there's really no standard, and what standards there are, they need to be changed just to fit what is. You see, there are more and more people living as if there's not any right or wrong. There's no need to discern concerning conduct. And they simply are the most miserable people among us. Now, others will admit there are standards, even God-given standards, but they're just too busy trying to change God's standards to fit what man has done. They'll take the Word of God and twist it around to make it whatever they want to do that they say is acceptable. This is what a lot of people are doing with respect to marriage and with respect to homosexuality. And tragically, there'll be some that give up the fight. They seem to try anymore to make any sense out of life. And they've never learned why they are alive. They think they cannot make it. And what do they do? Why, so many young people will just commit suicide. I read somewhere that, I don't know whether it include both young and older, there are some 121 people in the United States that kill themselves. 121 every day. Friend, those are people who haven't been able to go successfully from the ideal and face the real. Now, people are using all kind of false and ineffective means of cope with the variance between the real and the ideal. But let's recognize just here that we do have a problem and accept the fact that it's a challenge to us. It's not an insurmountable obstacle. It is a barrier to good life. We can be freed by the truth. Jesus says that we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. You see, we're not in heaven while we're here on this earth, and this earth was never designed to be our heaven. But there is hope, there is a way, there is a solution. Life is worth living once you understand your own worth and your own mission in life. We must learn and follow the will of God. How can we find the truth? We can't find the truth by ourselves. We need the help of the Word of God. Well, this is about all we have time to discuss today. We're going to talk some more tomorrow about going from the real to the ideal. We hope you'll be listening. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.